what comes to us at 17, who knows? I doubt that we move up. I think the more picks we have, the better in this draft particularly. But there will be a good player at 17. There's no question about that.
That's Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert and head coach Mike Tomlin talking at today's pre-draft press conference. Hello and welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews and this is Bob Labriola. Draft week is upon us.
Yeah, Missy, about 76 hours from now, the first round will get underway. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about what some of the things that Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert did not say during their annual pre-draft press conference. One of the those two guys, it's a science. They kind of play off each other, find a way to answer questions without revealing any information. But I don't think that there's any argument that this is going to be an important draft class for the Steelers.
And Kevin just said in that soundbite, as we heard, they don't anticipate on moving up. The more draft picks, the better they feel in terms of adding guys to what they have right now.
Yeah, based on the way this particular pool of talent breaks down, it's really not that top heavy. In other words, you know, a lot of times you might get 15 guys in a draft class that you think are extra special. We'll talk about Kevin Colbert's assessment of this particular group a little later on in this show. But let me just say, the Steelers do not perceive this to be that kind of a draft. So in that instance, you know, when you're looking at second and third round picks that are valuable enough that, who knows, you may come away with some starting caliber players in those rounds. You don't want to give those picks up to move up a couple of spots in a first round for someone who may not be that much. The 17th player might not be all that much better than the 14th player or the 21st player. So I think the Steelers' strategy as we stand here right now today is to let the draft come to them, make the picks when they can.
And Kevin Colbert talked a little bit more in depth in terms of what they're evaluating from and how many guys they think are special in this year's draft.
We think we're in real good shape. We're picking 17th. We'll be picking from a pool of about 150 guys that we've identified. Realistically, I think there's probably, in this group, there's probably 6 to 8 guys that we think are special players. Beyond that, there's a nice group of potential starters that I think you'll be looking at in rounds 2 and 3. And then beyond that, in 4 through 7, we'll be looking at depth. And realistically, you know, I'm always going to be optimistic about the group, but I can say the numbers are probably a little lower or slighter. The tight ends, the interior offensive linemen, and the 34, traditional 34 defensive ends. There's probably not a lot of deep. It's not a deep pool with those positions.
Yeah, Missy, you know, Kevin Colbert right there was kind of detailing what we hinted at earlier there. And, you know, it's a situation where, you know, the Steelers start out with 400, 500 names on their list. And as he mentioned, they pare it down. They feel that there are 150 draftable kinds of players available in this draft. They hope to get 8 of them who can, you know, at least make the roster. And, you know, and Kevin was talking about how he sees them breaking down, that there isn't a lot at the very top of the draft where you're looking at guys, wow, these are potential all-pros,
right,
maybe future Hall of Famers. And he believes that there could be starters picked, you know, even on the early part of the third day, which would be Saturday, which is the fourth round. So, you know, a lot of times the way that the particular talent pool breaks down, it might be a top-heavy draft. This one is not like that, especially I think at wide receiver and defensive backs, two positions we're going to look at a little more in depth here later in this show. But there aren't those great players, but you know, there's no Calvin Johnson, there's no Larry Fitzgerald among the wide receivers, and there's no Deion Sanders or Rod Woodsons among the cornerbacks. However, you still might get good starting caliber NFL players, starting caliber on contending team type of players, you know, rounds 2, 3, maybe even round 4.
And segueing into that perfectly, Kevin Colbert was asked if there was a certain position that he thought was deeper than others in this year's draft.
Like I said, the only ones that are, the numbers are down, are the tight ends, the interior line, and the 34 ends, which is a little concerning with the 34 ends because it's about 14 teams that are playing our scheme right now. So that's a position where there's just not a lot of guys.
And I think that the draft is deep in the secondary, as it has been the last number of years, maybe just due to the amount of spread football played in college and the number of sub packages that are employed by defenses. I think that, you know, corners and sub package corners and hybrid safeties are plenty, but it really that's been the case for the last number of years. I think you can say the same thing about wide receivers. It's the nature of the college game over the last number of years. There are a number of guys available in the draft with in-game catch experience. The way the ball is thrown and caught in college football provides a unique, you know, reference from an experience standpoint. There are a number of receivers that have caught a lot of footballs in game-like situations.
Yeah, Missy, and unfortunately for the Steelers, as Kevin Colbert mentioned, the 3-4 outside linebacker group is not very deep. So he also talked about in that news conference that there are now about 14 teams in the NFL who are playing variations of the Steelers' 3-4 defense, which means there is a lot of competition for the few quality players as at the 3-4 outside linebacker spot. So I think that if there is one position that maybe, I won't say reach, but you want to pick early because there's not going to be a lot there left later, 3-4 outside linebackers.
But then you have the DBs, as Coach Tomlin was saying, we just heard. That's kind of where he thinks the draft is deep this year in terms of guys that will be available.
Yeah, and that's, I think you could look back at the way the college game has evolved to answer why that seems to be a fairly regular occurrence lately. I mean, we can just go back to the Steelers' 2010 draft class where they got Emmanuel Sanders third and Antonio Brown sixth. With all of the spread offenses in the NFL, in college football now, you have a lot of college receivers coming into this league with a lot of experience and understanding of, you know, the complexities of a passing attack. And then conversely, in college, because that's become a predominant way of playing offense, college coaches and teams have had to find the guys to combat that, and those are the defensive backs. So you have a lot of guys both at receiver and in the defensive backfield who are experienced, if nothing else, in playing that kind of football.
Same thing with wide receivers. Colbert said there's tall ones, there's short ones, there's quick ones, pretty much any kind of wide receiver that you're looking for is possibly available in this draft.
Yeah, but there isn't that one guy, again, who has it all. So I think that in terms of the wide receivers, the way we're going to see it break out once the draft starts is, you know, if a team is looking for someone with some height, a guy who is tall will get picked. But if a different team is looking for someone who's fast, they might take the smaller, faster guy over the taller guy. And so I think that's kind of the way it works. The clusters, there are clusters of these guys, and the way they come off the board, I think, will be determined by a particular team's interest or a particular team's preference.
It was just announced on Friday that linebacker James Harrison signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you anticipate the Steelers kind of looking to replace him almost, even though they have Jason Worlds in the draft to kind of fill that void?
Yeah, I think that there's no question that, you know, pass rushing outside linebacker in a 3-4 is something that the Steelers need to, is an area they need to fortify. And when you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're talking about a team that uses the draft as its primary method of roster building. And so coming from this draft, you would hope that the Steelers would add a player or two who can kind of at least fit in or maybe compete for some of those spots that are available and really behind Lamar Woodley and Jason Worlds. So that's an area that I think the Steelers need to address in this draft, but the whole concept of replacing James Harrison, I think, would be foolish for the Steelers to go into with that idea, either from a production standpoint, because quite frankly, this guy has been one of the more productive players that Steelers have ever had at this position, nor should they look for a shorter guy with explosive power like James Harrison and try and duplicate his style. His contributions, I think, are both uniquely his. What you need is someone who can be productive from that spot the way he was.
Steve McClendon, recently a restricted free agent, signed again with the Steelers for 3 years after he took that visit to Green Bay, which obviously he was allowed to do. And today, Kevin Colbert kind of explained where the team was in terms of re-signing him and how it kind of worked out the way that it did.
quite honestly, Steve was someone we would have identified in the summer as a potential signee. When the interest in Steve picked up with Green Bay, we had the discussion with his agent, and it was a very easy negotiation because the player wanted to be here first and foremost. Sometimes they have to take those trips just to confirm interest in other teams, and that's fine. Again, that's well within the rules. But Steve was somebody that we had planned on talking to in the summer when we traditionally get through this period of free agency, the draft, and we'll usually sign future guys to longer-term deals in the summer, and he was one of those guys.
Emmanuel Sanders, also a restricted free agent, staying with the Steelers. He's been here during the voluntary workouts labs. He's been working out. Kevin Colbert said he's happy to be here. And Kevin kind of said today it was the Steelers' decision. They felt their decision only if Sanders was going to stay or leave.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the Steelers like to do business. They don't like to have their hand forced by another team. And the strategy that they come up with or try to come up with in terms of dealing with restricted free agency is one that they hope will end up with them being able to make decisions on these guys without being influenced or, you know, backed into a corner by another team. Kevin, the way he explained it, the offer sheet that Emmanuel Sanders signed was not an onerous one in terms of what the Steelers were able to do in response to it, and, you know, so they did what they did. Just, you know, continuing with this a little bit, you know, this is the whole restricted free agent signing them to a longer-term deal thing could have happened maybe last year with Mike Wallace, but he made the decision to stay away from all of the off-season workouts, not sign the tender, and those kind of things, and so then that naturally precluded any negotiations on a long-term contract. The Steelers don't talk to players about contracts who are either, well, I won't say holding out, but you get what I mean. He wasn't here. Steve McClendon, on the other hand, the intention all along was to try and get a longer-term deal done with him, and it happened so quickly that you have to have the idea that it was an easy negotiation.
Right. Obviously, today it was a pre-draft press conference, but other things were brought up, like Mike Adams and Marcus Gilbert, and the fact that if both guys are healthy, who plays at what spot?
Well, you know, one of the things that was mentioned a couple of different times during this news conference was Kevin Colbert saying that he does not anticipate or assume that any players drafted in this current class will come in as rookies and make an immediate impact. That having been said, where you're looking for then for the bulk of your improvement is from your previous year's draft class. I mean, those are the guys you expect the biggest jumps in performance from. And, you know, when you look at what the Steelers picked last year and what they have left, you know, the offensive linemen were pretty much the keys there. Your first two picks were David DeCastro and Mike Adams and then Kelvin Beachum. Now, getting them all situated among the front five is going to be one of the tasks awaiting new offensive line coach Jack Bicknell Jr. But what you have with Adams and Gilbert is you have two players who have played both ends, both tackle positions. And so, you know, you don't want to be flopping them around. You don't want to be doing all of that kind of stuff because you want a five-man cohesive unit. So hopefully during this spring and summer, the Steelers will figure out or the players will reveal to them through their performances who should be at left tackle, who should be at right tackle. Then you go to training camp with them already set at that position and try and hammer out a line that hopefully can play together in the same positions for 14 or 15 regular season games.
Here's what Coach Tomlin had to say about where Gilbert and Adams will be playing next season.
Yeah, but Marcus Gilbert is left tackle capable as well. I think one of the things that we've learned through the trials of the 2012 season is both of those young men are capable of playing both spots. And, you know, we'll use the spring and the summer to sort out where we play those two at. But both guys have shown that they're capable of being viable left tackle and right tackle-like candidates, talking about he and Marcus Gilbert.
Labs' Kevin Colbert also said today they haven't shut the door on guys like Max Starks and Casey Hampton. Do you anticipate after the draft seeing what they get out of that, deciding on what they'll do with those guys?
Well, I think that those guys, too, are going to have a lot to say about where they end up because both Max Starks and Casey Hampton, to me, are almost training camp signings, maybe even into training camp signings. If you are a team interested in one of those two guys, based on what you have seen from them throughout their career, you know they are both capable, you know they are both veterans, but you also know that they both have had weight issues. So you don't want to necessarily sign them too early and give them too much time to gain weight. You would want to try to keep them, you know, kind of hanging in the balance, do I have a job or not?
Dangling the carrot
so that, you know, they stay in tip-top shape. The longer it gets into the process, I think, before those guys are signed, the longer into the process they will be maintaining their optimum weight, and that will only make them more attractive to whatever team might be interested in them. I think that both of those guys are looking for starting kind of contracts. I don't think they would get that with the Steelers, but if not, they don't have anything come training camp.
Better than nothing, yes.
Right. It's like musical chairs. You want to get a seat before the music stops.
All right. Well, that will do it for us today here on Steelers.com Live. And make sure you tune in on Wednesday at 4. Mike Prasuta from DVE will be joining us. We have a very special show planned, so we'll see you again then. Have a great night.